True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, if you're looking for a guy that just plays on the outside, I do think Isaiah Bond fits that a little bit better. His route tree that was used at Texas more so was for that, right? You had your 15-yard stops, your vert, some of those screens that Texas relied on pretty heavily. All of those fit exactly what Isaiah Bond was really good at. Now, I think Matthew Golden comparatively has a broader route tree. I think that, again, his ability to create separation on digs and out is just a little bit quicker. He's more quick than fast. I do think Bond fits that outside, quote-unquote, wide receiver just a little bit better than a Golden, who I think Texas deployed all over the field very well in 2024.
CJ Vogel covers the Texas Longhorns on with me and Nate yesterday. Talked about there is a Texas player in the first two rounds at every position of need that you would think the Bills have. There's a 330-pound nose tackle. There's two speed receivers. There's a corner. Although, as we kind of talked about yesterday with him, the corner, Jahdae Barron, who, by the way, when he described him, if you missed it, go back and listen. Him describing Barron sounded like he was describing Tre'Davious White. Like, as a person, as much as a player, too. Like, oh, you'll fall in love with him immediately. He's a hilarious character, but he's also, like, a leader. Like, everyone will fall in love with him immediately. You know, I'm like, and then when he started getting to him as a player, like, oh, that's Tre'Davious White. But he's often mocked, like, way before the Bills.
But I think he's also a lot of times a slot guy, right? Isn't he a nickel?
He's done both, and okay. I've seen a lot of draft people thinking he could move to the nickel full time, which, right, the Bills.
He's 5'11", 194.
Yeah.
I mean, he could play outside. In fact, Daquan Hardy got some time at outside last year at the end of training camp when people thought there's no possible way the Bills would ever do that, and they actually did that at the end of the training camp. So it's possible, no
Brandon
doubt.
Brandon Codrington played a little bit outside, and isn't he?
He only plays outside, actually, now.
Right.
Now that he played at all nickel.
What's Codrington? 5'10"? 5'9"?
Yeah, he's not the tallest. That's for sure.
Good morning. It's a... It looks a little dreary out right now. The ball game today, 2:00 for the Bisons. The Bisons have a guarantee that they're doing, which is if it is not 50 degrees at first pitch, everybody in attendance will be able to use that ticket in exchange to a future game as well, either over the weekend or in April, the Bisons say.
I've never thought that I would see the day where everybody, thousands of people would be rooting specifically for 49 degrees. Get it as warm as possible, but don't get it to that 50.
Could they put like a temperature tracker like on the scoreboard, and if it goes from like 50 to 49 and the crowd erupts while like the game is going on and nobody knows why? I'm considering going to the game today. I think I'm leaning towards going if the weather holds up. I'm going to bring a book, just hang out, kick my feet up, watch the ball game,
grab
a dog.
I'll see you.
Sal's going to be there. So, ball game today. We'll talk with Pat Mellicaro coming up at 8:45 on the Bison season upcoming. So, on the draft. So, there's Vogel talking about Bond and Golden. By the way, listening and talking to Vogel yesterday. For me at wide receiver, I've been on this recently that I really want to see them draft that one specific type of role. The downfield speed guy. But I don't need to see it in round one. And talking to Vogel... I mean, Matthew Golden is probably going in, almost definitely going in the first round. and he ran the faster 40 time. Isaiah Bond, meanwhile, who Ryan Talbot reported earlier in the week is one of the 30 pre-draft visits with the Bills, he did not run a fast 40 after saying he was going to break the record.
So he was a 4.39. Golden was a 4.29.
Right.
Big difference.
Now, what Vogel pointed to was, or said, is that he was surprised by the numbers. That he thought Bond was going to be right. That he was going to be close and that it would have been the other way around. Bond would have ran the faster 40 and Golden ran the slower 40. And Vogel pointed us to a thing that we're going to be very familiar with here because of how it went with Keon Coleman last year. The gauntlet drill and tracking the speed of the player rather than the time of the player on the 40-yard dash. As Vogel said yesterday, Isaiah Bond ran during the gauntlet drill, 24.1 miles per hour. That was the fastest speed clocked by any wide receiver at the combine. And he was the second fastest player overall. Only Maxwell Hairston, who was a corner from Kentucky, was faster. So here we go again with what's the value of the 40-yard dash? What's the value of play speed? Vogel said he thinks Bond played faster last year at Texas. He is more of an outside receiver. And he's probably like a mid to late second round pick. So I've landed on receiver. I do not need to see it in round one at all. In fact, I am very much loving the idea of drafting the second of the Texas receivers in round two because it just feels like it's a better fit for what the Bills need out of that position. Mm-hmm. It seems like he has some of the things that they value in players when you're testing them, and you don't have to spend as big of an asset on it.
So I am 100% with you on almost everything you said here, which is you like the receiver idea, especially a speed receiver, but not first pick.
Yeah.
I agree with you for a big reason, for the biggest reason to me of, let's just say they pick a receiver at 30.
Yeah.
Who's he playing over?
Hmm.
Is he getting inserted into the lineup over Keon Coleman, Joshua Palmer? I could even make a case he's got a fight with Curtis Samuel.
Right.
I'm not telling you my opinion of how they should do it, but we know how this team operates, Joe. Mm-hmm. This is why a receiver has never made a ton of sense for me at 30. Where are the snaps coming from for a receiver at 30?
Right.
Receiver at 32 last year, that they needed that type of receiver, didn't get on the field a ton. He wound up playing more and starting, and they were starting to get him more targets, but it took a little while. Where is a receiver at 30 playing on this team right now?
The receiver at 30 is not playing to the level that you would expect the first round pick to play. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, because there would be snaps available, but not, you wouldn't think enough. I don't think you would think that that's a big enough number to warrant your first pick going to it. Because Coleman is going to play a lot. He already played a lot,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's even after they said that they were a little disappointed or let down by his play when he came back after the injury. He still was on the field a good amount. And there were games where he led them in snaps. You know, Hollins played a lot, and he's gone. Cooper did play a segment of the snaps. Like, what was that end up being? 40% most times, and he's gone. I that's why, though, I think second round isn't, to me, I like the second round idea a lot because there are enough snaps to warrant a day two pick. And there's enough to warrant that role getting more meaningful snaps, a speed guy. And
but if they take a guy specifically because they really need a speed guy, which is fine, you're kind of putting him in a role where that's just what he does. He's
right.
not going to be playing in all situations for you. And to me, that means, why am I picking him at 30? Whereas, you draft a corner at 30, he's got a legit chance to start day one.
Yeah.
And be a full-time player 100% of the snaps.
Yeah.
Legit chance.
You would expect him to be on the field all the time. And that's where, I asked this question briefly earlier in the week, I even put a poll up on it, on what position can you live with the Bills not taking in the first two rounds? Because they have three picks through round three. They could very well get back into round three. You might even predict they do, right? For all the day three picks that they have, try to move a fourth with a fifth. And
two fourths, three fifths.
Two fourths. They have so many of those picks that you might expect them to get back into round three, but for now they don't have one. And is everyone okay living with a receiver not being a pick of one of the first three? It was
yes.
pretty close between No one said corner, and at least in this, just a Twitter poll. No one said corner. No one said defensive tackle. Like, those were single-digit percentage. Like, they got to take both of those things in the first two rounds. You got three picks, got to have a corner, and you got and get a defensive tackle. Little surprise the defensive end was almost the same number as receiver. That's a little bit of the same conversation. How many you could very well want more at that position, want a higher level of play at that position, and see some snaps available. But that's the same puzzle. You got to kind of figure out, all right, if I draft a defensive end, what does the snap count, what does the opportunity look like for that player at that position? The difference there is that they have not spent their first pick in the draft on defensive end in the last 2 years like they have at pass catcher. And you have a guy that is currently suspended for 6 games. I know Hoyt plays a lot of other positions too. And
I'm counting him as an edge though, mostly.
Yep.
Yes.
And you have a guy that has a long injury history in Joey Bosa. And that's, I guess, receiver's rotational too. But defensive end, we know from the 100%. Bills, is very rotational.
Yep.
So defensive end is the other one where a lot of people, though, said, I could live with them not doing that on day one or two.
I could live with them not doing it, but I think you might need to do it. And that's fine. I could live with them not doing it depending on what else is there. If it's corner and defensive tackle, right, you could do that. So I'm with you on all of that. There's an X factor at defensive end, too. And we're a year away from, a lot of times, you know, these guys get drafted and you think, well, they're going to make this immediate impact, and they don't. But let's remember, the draft is really not about year one, mostly. Sometimes it can be if you're picking in the top half of the first round. I think they really like Javon Solomon. I think they think Javon Solomon's going to be a heavy rotational piece this year. So if you bring in a guy at 30, he's also got to beat him out. We can talk as much as we want about Greg Rousseau being on the field and A.J. Epenesa being on the field and Joey Bosa on the field, injuries, Michael Hoyt coming back. Javon Solomon factors into this. Mm. And I don't see a guy at 30 just coming in and beating Javon Solomon out for a job, to be quite honest with you.
Right.
Now, you're picking the top 15, it's a little different. These are guys that are maybe a lot of times ready-made, come in, rush the quarterback. I think they really believe in Javon Solomon to be a guy that's going to be, you know, in a part of the in this rotation. The other position, though, that I don't know how it came up at all with your poll or what you did here.
I think I know the position you're about
to say. I hear
a lot
about safety.
Yeah, I didn't. And I only had four options.
No.
And I'm totally good with them
not taking safety.
Yeah.
Because, again, I'll say, if you draft a safety at 30, what is he really going to play over Bishop or Rapp? Because
really,
I don't see it happening.
That's really where the three most interesting positions to me for that, right now, the most debatable positions on what's the role, what's the opportunity, receiver, defensive end, and safety. Everything else I feel like is pretty cut and dry, right? They draft a defensive tackle. That guy plays. Like, he might not start, but that guy is on the field. There is enough snaps to go around for him to play. They draft a cornerback. That guy's going to have every opportunity to play. He might play every snap of the season, for all we know. They draft a lineman. Like, that doesn't make any sense because offensive lineman, where is that guy playing? You've got five starters, and as you've pointed out, they're bringing every backup back, too. Alec Anderson's back and Ryan Vandermark. So we kind of know about line. We know about running back. There's not room. We know that tight end is you've got two guys at the top there. There's not a lot of room. I feel like a lot of these positions are figured out for what's available. The three that are a little more debatable are receiver, are defensive end, and I do think safety is in that too, because if they drafted a safety, let's play that out. What's the role of that player going in? They generally don't play safeties early, and I mean, well, you tell me, have they sounded to you like they do trust Cole Bishop to be in a meaningful role in year two and be the starter?
I think the word trust, have they sounded like that, is interesting because Sean McDermott has made it clear he's still got to come in and win it. Yeah, you'd love him to do that, but he's still got to be able to do that. Nothing's going to be handed to him. All right, so earlier we said hi to some people in the bullpen. Good question. We missed J-Bud, so I'm going to say hi to J-Bud. Get to J-Bud's question here. Or his comment, because I want to address it, and that's getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. J-Bud, he said, hanging on to DeMar is screaming they need safety help. Yes, they need safety depth help. But I don't think they believe, the way they operate, that someone's coming in here and starting at safety over Bishop and Rapp. I want to just give anecdotal evidence here to everything with the safety position. Can you name the last safety they brought in here that didn't have some sort of experience in the system?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
That started. I can't.
Well, the only one is Bishop, but they only did that because of injury, right?
Right, exactly. What I mean is he still had to work his way. Mike Edwards was brought in here to be a starter. He didn't even win the job. Right. Rapp waited a year. He was a spot safety, and then he wound up starting. Micah and Jordan were here for so long, but Joe, when they were injured, Dean Marlowe was the guy they brought in.
Yeah.
They brought in Kurt Coleman.
Kurt Coleman.
They like guys who understand their system. It is very hard to bring a rookie into this defense and start right away. Maybe Bishop could have done it. He could have been the outlier. He got hurt. I'll give you that, all right? But the reason why they brought back DeMar, Sportsman says, it is not because they hold on to the story way too much. That is not it. They signed DeMar to a minimum deal.
Yeah.
Do you know why they signed DeMar? Because if you don't sign DeMar, who are you signing? Someone just like him. A veteran who knows the system, he's experienced, and if he has to go in, you know he knows exactly what to do. That's what DeMar Hamlin is.
Is DeMar not, I mean, he's back here, and he's talked about wanting to retire a Bill, so I'm sure that played into it too a little bit, you know. He wouldn't have had a huge market, but did he pass on $1 million extra dollars to go somewhere else?
I don't know. It sounds like he went out. There wasn't really much out there for him. The Bills are like, hey, you can come back here and be a part of the mix here and still fight for a job, but be a depth safety, and that's what happened.
The guy I'm more interested for safety for that is Derek Forrest.
Very interesting.
Because he's started in the past, and he's a very different type of safety to me than Hamlin. Hamlin is... right place, right time. Not an insane athlete for his position, but he doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He's a good tackler. But then also, we saw this in the Chief game. If you want to start mixing in man coverage, and he's got to go down and cover a slot receiver, you know, good night a lot of the time, or he's got to come down in the box. Forrest is an athlete.
He's a boomer bust guy.
Yeah.
What you see from Forrest on film is he could be just blowing someone up and making a play and make it a big game-changing type of hit. He also could get beat deep or somewhere because he's trying to make a play and it doesn't work out. And I don't think the Bills love having those kinds of guys back there because they love to keep everything in front of you, make the safe play. But what Forrest represents is a guy who can make a game-changing type of play in a situation. Maybe you put him in spot duty, special teams. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he'll play there. So, yeah, I give
it. So, you have four.
I don't think he's going to be... I don't think he starts.
But even if he doesn't start, that's four safeties.
Yeah.
That's four guys. Like, if that's their safety room going into the year, that's where, man, safety is really interesting because there's this Nick Amonwori guy. And he's a crazy athlete, and he's 6'3", and he runs a sub-4.40. And the one thing about, you know, you brought up that position, like, where that's kind of the same thing. Where would the guy play? How much opportunity would he have? That's especially the extra layer of how the Bills treat that position. The one thing about drafting a body type like what Amonwori is, and I'm sure there's other safeties like that in the draft, is there another way to get that guy on the field that isn't just playing him a traditional safety? Because we have seen the Bills do that with Cam Lewis and with Poyer, like... the big nickel, right? Big nickel, the dime packages that they have. You might think, okay, well, if they... see, this is where, though, I don't know if they would do that at 30, though. You're going to draft a guy in the first round, and the only thing he's going to do for you in year one is these specialty packages?
But there aren't a ton of... if you want to go down that road, there are really only, I think, two positions that a guy can really walk in and play right away on this team. And that is defensive tackle and corner. Otherwise, anybody you draft at 30 is probably still going to have to maybe be in the background for a year.
Yeah, I do think that's where I wanted to go back to receiver for a moment here. I agree with you that, like, receiver, I don't expect anybody they draft in round one or two, and I don't think they'll draft a guy in round one, but I don't think that guy starts. And I don't even think that guy has much of an opportunity to start other than, like, if Keon Coleman just shows up in year two and there is, like, regression and just, like, it just goes horribly wrong. There are 960 vacated snaps at wide receiver from last year. Matt Collins and Amari Cooper walking out the door. And Josh Palmer will eat up a giant chunk of those, but it's not going to be 960. The Bills had 968 snaps on offense total last year. Wide receiver is a rotational position.
Yeah.
There's going to be a couple of hundred snaps available, that, which is, by the way, that's what like Samuel played last year. Samuel played 378 snaps last season for the Bills. How does that 960 get eaten up? Palmer takes a chunk. Coleman can't really play much more than he did. He's already like in the 80 percentile a lot of the time. This is though where you brought up Samuel. A rookie could come in and eat up a chunk. Or do the Bills, how do they think of Samuel? He did look good at times at the end of the year. Do they feel like, okay, full offseason, let's get this guy healthy, because we did see flashes that when he is healthy, he's still the player that we wanted when we signed him. And they might think that there's an uptick for him as a role, but more so as, again, like, what is that? As the fourth receiver in the offense.
Can I give you an answer that you're not going to like?
Sure.
Dalton Kincaid was hurt a bit last year. They didn't play as much 12 personnel as they might have wanted. That's part of how you eat into those snaps.
More 12 personnel, less receiver snaps in general.
Yeah. I think that could be a way to get a little bit more there. Dalton Kincaid played 43% of the snaps last year. 471. That's not a ton.
Well,
for what they probably wanted, Dawson Knox was on the field for close to 60%.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, like, you're right. Like, the reason I'm not going to like that is because I want to see the Bills get better at downfield passing.
I know.
And then you'd be telling me they think the answer to that is internal. And my question would be, well, where internal is that? Is that, I guess, what would the number one answer to that be? Coleman getting more fluid at route running down the field and more efficient maybe down the field. I mean, Matt Collins caught a lot of their downfield passes over the course of the year. So if you're trusting that in Coleman and maybe Samuel staying healthy and doing it, or you're going to, you know, I would be very hesitant to do that if I were them, because I don't know where your improvement downfield is coming from then.
But you might be right.
That would be what happens.
And
they talked about Kincaid getting stronger.
And Bean was on a podcast with Fitz and Andrew Whitworth last week, maybe.
It was last
week. I was tweeting out some quotes about it. He was just on with Eric Wood, by the way. I think that dropped yesterday or today. You can, you know, listen to that. But in that podcast with Fitz and Whitworth, he made specific mention of how Dalton Kincaid's here. He's been in the weight room already. Mm-hmm. He's already on, like, doing what they want him to do to, you know, get bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
I think they believe that he becomes a much bigger part of the offense simply, A, because he'll be healthier, you hope, mm-hmm. and B, because that's kind of what they wanted, and that's why they drafted him in the first round 2 years ago.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a thought on this, on the first three picks that the Bills have, they have 2 seconds, days one and two. By the way, we'll be having our draft party at Resurgence on Thursday for round one.
Ooh.
And then Jeremy and me will be at Wayland on Friday for, we'll have, this
That's
year we're
going to
have a
draft?
Day two, the week of the draft.
So the night of the draft, you're going to go, ooh, I love that.
We're going to have our round one draft party during the draft on Thursday at Resurgence. And then, yeah, we're going to be back this year, though, for round two and three at Wayland on Friday.
I love that.
Which I think is going to be a lot of fun. I love day two of the draft. And it's a Friday night, so
it is the night. Now, people always say to me, "Do you go to the draft? Do you go to the draft?" I actually have been to a couple NFL drafts, but before I was in this job. And the reason why I don't go to the draft, everything's here. We hear from Brandon Bean here.
They're all here.
For TV people, it's good to go to the draft and get the visual of the guy going up on stage and all that. For us here, we need to hear from Brandon Bean. We need to do the conference call with the player, what he's drafted. So, in the media room, draft night, It's one of the best nights in the media room. It's a long night, and it's packed with all of your colleagues, and everybody's watching the TV waiting to see what's going to happen.
They feed you well, too, don't they?
Oh, they feed us very well for all 3 days.
We're going to a break. We get to Paul Hamilton on the other side, talk some hockey. It's in Green Bay this year. Is it in the stadium?
They are having...
It's at Lambeau?
I think the draft itself is in the stadium, and the surrounding area is having a lot of the draft activities that are going on, yes.
Okay, but like the stage will be...
I believe inside Lambeau.
I'll check.
You can look at that.
The reason I'm asking, I'll look to find out, because it's been mentioned the idea of Buffalo hosting an NFL draft once the new stadium is complete, and I don't know that I've ever seen a draft inside of a stadium, and maybe this will be our first chance to get a look at it. Or maybe I'm wrong, that has happened before.
Where was last year?
Last year was... There was a Nashville one.
That was in the... It was Detroit and Cleveland. I remember Detroit and Cleveland. Were either of those in the stadium? I don't think so. You're right.
Yeah, I don't think I remember.
Okay, so I'll check into that.
Yeah,
but I will also tell you...
It was Hart Plaza in Detroit last year.
Okay, so the NFL owners' meetings are coming up next week. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where we'll get a little bit more information about, you know, if those plans could be happening for Buffalo in the future, which I believe... Buffalo and the Bills would like that to happen.
Yeah. We'll get back to that. We'll switch gears, get some hockey, and when we come back, the Sabres win 7-3 against the Penguins last night. Paul Hamilton joins the show coming up next.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.